So, if you'd like to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 again, we look at verses 21 to 23. It's the closing portion of this epistle. And at first look, it hasn't got anything much to tell us, does it, about the conduct of our Christian life? It doesn't seem to have much there at all, does it? And when we read it and so on, we often skim over these things, which are mere greetings, we might say. But we must never forget, I think, as we were reminded last week by Godfrey, when he said, when he reminded us that this is part of the Word of God. And all Scripture is profitable. Even this bit. Some bits are more profitable than others, as he pointed out. And maybe this isn't as profitable as others. But it has some profit for us. And so we're going to look at this. Of course, and as we do so, we remember that although it was only a little bit, it enhances the whole. Rather like having a side dish on your big meal. It doesn't detract from the big meal, but it enhances the big meal. And so this is intended to be that way. Now, I want us first of all to notice the scripture use of greetings, because that's what it is. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household, and so on. So it's all about greetings here. Now, if you used a concordance to look up the word, in the authorized version, you'd find it in 15 verses in the New Testament, this word Greek. Only once in the Old Testament. And the other times, it's 6 times in Romans chapter 16 alone. Twice in 1 Corinthians 16, the end of that chapter, and once each in 2 Corinthians 13. Colossians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, Titus 3, 1 Peter 5, and 2 and 3 John. And they're all final greetings at the end of these epistles. Now, in Greek, let's consider that. We send greetings all the time, don't we? At Christmas, we send greetings cards. For birthdays, we send a greeting, and so on and so forth. But the word here in the Greek has various nuances, shades of meaning. And sometimes it is translated by different words. It's translated sometimes salute, or hail, or embrace, or took leave of. And so we're looking at a word then that means just more than saying hello. It has a deeper meaning than just saying hello as a greeting. And we shall come back to what those significations might be. For the moment, let's just realize and understand that greeting fellow Christians is a thoroughly biblical activity. It is something which is approved by apostolic example. It's urged upon us to emulate by such instructions that we have here, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And it also, a greetings enriches our own mutual Christian walk. How? Well, this is where we come to the, not just the scripture use of the greeting, but the significance of Christian greetings. The word signifies affection. Strong in his dictionary says. It means to enfold in the arms. That's where this word greet comes from. To enfold in the arms. It is actually translated embrace in several places. In Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul is moving towards the end of his life, really, and he's in Ephesus. And it says, after the uproar ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Embracing. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, speaking of many of the patriarchs. And he says, they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. In other words, friends, greetings in this respect are a long-distance hug. A long-distance hug. Greet the saints, says Paul. And you know, we see this in our own greetings cards, for instance, don't we? We sign them off many, many times with love. That's what we're doing, isn't it? We're embracing the people that we're sending them to. And you know, there's something even more about this in the scriptures. For instance, in Romans 16:16, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Actually, that occurs another four times in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:26, and 1 Peter 5:14. All of them say, greet one another with a holy kiss, or a kiss of love. Now, in Paul's world, that was commonplace. It was culturally acceptable to greet each other with a kiss of love. And some cultures today find no problem with actually doing this very literally. The French are notorious for it, aren't they? And I don't know whether you're old enough to remember Brezhnev and Honecker, the East German leader. There was a great hug and a kiss between them when they met. It happens. Even our own royal family, the males, when they meet each other, kiss each other. We find that a little strange, maybe. Many are just content to hug. And even some of us find that a little bit embarrassing. And we prefer just a firm handshake of the English. But it has to be sincere, whatever you do. What this sort of greeting does, it has a physical contact to it. And we need to have that too with each other and show each other. And while it is good to greet people with a warm embrace, sometimes it would be inappropriate. But we are to greet each other. Let there be a physical contact. It shows, first of all, that we have an affection for that person. An affection, of course, in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to love each other. And that can be given with some sort of physical contact. So, if you want to hug me, that's fine. We should greet each other. You know, most of you know that I lived in Germany for a while. And there, whenever you went into a group, it could be a group of people you've known for many, many years, you went around the room and you shook hands with every single person to establish that contact again. And we should be, as Christians, united with one another in this sort of thing. But whichever way we adopt, whether it's a handshake, a hug, or a kiss, or whatever, let's make sure that's appropriate to the situation. Make sure that it's holy. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. A holy kiss. Not one that has anything evil about it or untoward about it. And remembering that it must be a genuine show of affection, because you can betray with a kiss. We all know of that famous, infamous kiss of betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Jesus died. So let's show affection for one another. If we love each other, let's show, even if it is just a handshake, let it be firm, let it be sincere. But it is also, on a deeper level, showing approbation, acceptance of the person. In 2 John 1:9 it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, that's the truth, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We must be careful whom we embrace. Not just physically, I mean in our affections. Embracing somebody in our affections, we have to be very careful. We have to remember that Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? We have to be careful, friends. Our associations involve an approbation, approval. We have to make sure that we are not approving that which is wrong and against the word of God. Although we are not forbidden to speak with those and have normal human contact with those who, even those who peddle a different gospel, we mustn't take them into the intimacy of our homes and hearts, much less into church membership. We have to greet them only if we can stand behind the truth which they preach. And also it shows an aspiration. Long distance hugs are just an unspoken expression of a longing for actual hugs or handshakes or kisses. And Paul has expressed how much he longed for renewed personal fellowship with these people. He wasn't just saying, I greet you. He wanted to be with them. He says in verse 8 of chapter 1, God is my witness how I greatly long for you. Long for you all with the affection of Christ. In this chapter, in verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. He longed to be with us, with them, because he was away from them. Surely we want to be with those people we love, don't we? Long distance relationships can't go on forever. You long to be with the people that you love, that you have an affinity with, that you can join together with in what they believe and what they teach. And you know, love of Christians, fellow Christians, our spiritual siblings, love for them is a mark of true conversion. Huh? It's a mark of true conversion. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. He says, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth into a loving relationship with the brethren. He says in chapter 2 and verse 17 of that same epistle, honour all people, love the brotherhood, honour the king. Love. We have to have love. Jesus said, didn't he? Isn't that his new commandment? Love one another. We should be eager to embrace one another, to greet one another, to enjoy fellowship one with another. We should be eager to greet, embrace one another, to enjoy the fellowship around the Word of God together, as well as around the table of remembrance. The psalmist says, Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What did we just sing and read earlier? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We have to enjoy each other's company, to come to the fellowship of the saints. This is how we show our love, that we love to be with each other. We love each other's company, especially as we're sitting under the Word of God, singing the praises of God, knowing the presence of God. Notice also the universality of these Christian greetings. He says, greet every saint, every saint. And notice, of course, that these saints he's talking about are living, breathing people. They are not in need of being canonized by some pretended religious leader. They're living, breathing saints. They're people. Those who are called to be holy. That's why we're called saints, because if we trust in Christ, we are called to be holy. We are being sanctified. You know what the word sanctified means, don't you? If we Englished that word, you know what it would be? We are being holified. That's what we are. Being sanctified. Saints in Christ Jesus. We are regarded by God as holy because we are trusting in Christ for forgiveness, for cleansing, and for acceptance in God's holy eyes. We are called saints because we are destined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. You know, the New Testament epistle frequently end with greetings, as we've noticed. Some greet named individuals. In Romans 16, there are no less than 25 named people that he greets. But here there's none named. We might have expected the Apostle Paul to greet some of the Philippians by name because he knew them so well. There was joy in his crown and he longed for them. However, we must bear in mind that one of the reasons he wrote this letter was because there was a dispute going on between two ladies, Euodias and Syntyche, were having a disagreement. And perhaps he kept it anonymous because he didn't want to show favoritism. And that's another point that we should do in our greetings of people, of the saints of God. We should take them all into consideration. And while, okay, we might have a greater personal affinity with some people rather than others, some Christians rather than others, we must not be guilty of favoritism. He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who at Philippi, in verse 1, he writes that, of chapter 1. And he's practicing really what he preached to Timothy when he said in 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. We've got to love us all the saints. And don't forget, the Christian love isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Christian love is that love which seeks the best for everyone that is loved. There is also a warmth of affection for each child of God. We are members of the household of God, Paul says in Ephesians 2:19. Love all the saints. Now, can I just make another aside here? There seems to be, well, there could, no, there isn't really, an omission. Have you noticed the Apostle Peter is not mentioned here at all? And don't forget, there are some who say that the Apostle Peter founded the church in Rome. And Paul is in Rome writing this letter. He doesn't mention the Apostle Peter at all. And if Peter was indeed the Bishop of Rome, the first Pope, as he's often termed by them, surely that would be an unforgivable omission to write from Rome and not mention him. I can only take from that that Peter wasn't in Rome. The church was formed long before Peter got there. He's not the Bishop of Rome and probably never was. But passing on from there, notice there are special greetings here. He says, although he greets everyone, he says, the saints greet you, especially those who have Caesar's household. Although we can't rule out that some of Caesar's family, it was Nero, by the way, we can't rule out that some of Caesar's family had become Christians and had trusted Christ. But the term Caesar's household was a phrase which was used in a wider sense. What we might call the imperial civil service. That was denominated Caesar's household. And that was of significance because Philippi was a Roman colony. Now that was an official designation. What happened was that they captured a city and they sent their troops there. They sent people there, and they formed a colony. And they spoke the Roman language, Latin. They dressed in the Roman fashions. The city officials were of Roman rank and bore Roman titles. And the citizens, though hundreds of miles away from Rome, were actually citizens of Rome, although they were in Philippi. So when he says greet, when he says the household of Caesar is greeting you, he's saying, look, the gospel has come this far. The gospel has reached even into the very civil service, the highest parts of Roman society. Now, there was a gap of nearly 400 years before Emperor Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. Another 400 years to go. But here we see already the gospel is triumphing. The gospel is getting to places. It reaches places where you thought it would never reach. And that's only 30 years after the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a great vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and his anointed and say, let us cast away their cords from us. He who sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He goes on to say, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. Listen to this. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the sea for your possession. This is already beginning to happen. 30 years after Christ has died. Well, the people in Corinth, they complained about the apostles. He says, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:25 that he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. We are on the victory side. The gospel will win. There is no doubt about it. Okay, there may be times when it is more popular, if you like, than others. Times when it seems to have more power than at others. But it will conquer because Jesus is reigning. And he must reign until all enemies are under his feet. Finally, just let me quickly point out that we even here, we haven't just got Paul's greetings to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. We haven't just got the brethren and the household of Caesar with Paul giving their greetings to the Philippians, but also you have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how he started this letter, chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's saying the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As we greet one another in Christ, as we have received so much love and kindness and help and support from other saints of Jesus Christ, we can best repay their fellowship with a sincere desire and prayer that they might know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace, never forget, that grace is undeserved, unmerited. And Paul recognizes that although they already partakers of the grace in salvation, in verse 7 of verse of chapter 1, he says, you're all partakers with me of grace. But he recognizes that they need grace for every step of the way. They need grace every day. They need grace every moment. They need grace. They need God to be smiling upon them despite their ill deserts. Grace, unmerited favour. They need it. You and I need it every moment of every day. We stand in need. And it's the best thing that you can use to greet people with. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sin so often. We're slothful in our duties. We are weak in our commitment. Distracted by the world. And sometimes we are indifferent towards the lost. How we need the grace of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what Peter said? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Are you more and more conscious of your need of God's undeserved goodness and favour to keep you unto the day of salvation? Your need is grace. That's why I sang the last hymn we sang. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. But out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So warmly embrace all the saints with affection and approbation. Greet them personally in the fellowship of God's people. Appreciate the fact that we have siblings, spiritual siblings in amazing places. And appreciate the prayers of the people of God, especially in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I say to you too, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.